Okay. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for being here. As I said, happy Friday. Welcome to the second Principal's Coffee meeting of the year. We have a relatively small group here. So, but I think you'll all, I hope it'll be well worth your time. I'm going to be going over a lot of the information that is being kind of thrown around our district and our community. And I wanted to answer any questions you may have. I'll also be presenting some information to you. But I wanted to make sure to give you all an opportunity to hear from me, you know, what's going on and what the next step is as far as phase one is concerned. And I also wanted to go over part of our SPSA, which I do every year. Our SPSA is basically our annual school goals. And we'll go into that a little further in a few minutes. Okay. And then, of course, I'll open it up for questions, some Q&A afterwards. Okay. But again, thanks for being here. I know, you know, schedules are tight these days more so than ever, but I appreciate you being here. And as always, even if we're not on Zoom together, always feel free to give me a call or email me, and I'm always happy to help. Okay. So what I'll do is I'm going to share my screen so I can show you my presentation. So here we go. All right. Well, welcome everybody to, it's October 9th already. I can't believe it. It's our second Principal's Coffee of the year. As I said, I'll switch the presentation mode there. And I'm going to go into some of this phase one information that I know you've all been hearing about. I know you've all been talking about it. I think you have been anyway. And I know there's a lot of information going on. So I wanted to address any questions you had, you know, head on and talk to you about what our plan is, what our district's plan is, what our school's plan is, and also what phase one may look like elsewhere in our cluster. Because as you saw, based on that letter we sent out last week, the Point Loma cluster principals do work very closely together, and a lot of information that's sent out to the community, we first meet and talk about it and how it's all going to affect our individual schools and how that might affect our cluster in general, which is why you will notice that especially these days, a lot of information will be going out from the cluster, from the Point Loma cluster, as opposed to just, you know, individual sites. So here we go. Phase one. A lot of vague general information went out last week. And again, I apologize for that from the, you know, to open up. But I think it is general for a reason, because I think this may look different at every school. But what's most important to understand is that plan A for the time being is still online learning. That's going to still be our go-to from now until, you know, whenever we go to phase two, whenever they might be. But online learning is the number one priority at this point. We are taking some baby steps and starting to open up our campuses slowly. So this phase one process is really meant for a very small group of students. It's considered almost like a supplemental service to go along with online learning. So the online, all the Zoom sessions and the Seesaw and Google Classroom stuff that your child is already doing with their teacher, that will remain mostly unchanged. Okay, we will be inviting, you know, a small percentage of students back to campus for specific services, which I'll get into in a minute. Okay, and the goal is to very gradually reopen our schools. From the beginning, our superintendent, Cindy Martin, has mentioned that when we, you know, reopening the schools will not be a light switch. It's not going to be an off and then on. This is going to happen in several gradual steps. And of course, phase one is the first of those. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, when does phase two start? And the answer to that is we're not sure yet. Phase two is currently being bargained between our district and the teachers union. So we have no information yet on what phase two will look like or when it will happen. Okay, so right now we're focusing on phase one and we're focusing on opening our campus to a small percentage of kids. Okay, so more info. So the number of students who may be invited back to campus is very small, and that's what I wanted to make sure we all understood. I think the district letter that went out last week made it seem like this was going to be much more of a large scale thing. Unfortunately, it is not, at least not for right now. This will affect a very small percentage of students. We're talking about students with IEPs that may need assessment. We're talking about maybe a few individual or a very small number of kindergarten students for now. You know, that's the first phase of phase one. And again, we're hoping to gradually reopen to more and more students. But for now, it's a very small percentage of kids. We're looking at, you know, maybe 20 kids, maybe even less. Okay, so I just want to make sure we all understood that. The other important thing to understand is that this is going to look different from school to school to school. I know schools that are not reopening at all at this point. I know schools that are only opening up for some special education assessments. I know schools that are opening up to multiple grade levels. It's going to look different. And one of the main reason for that is we're looking at student needs. And I think the enrollment of every school is very different. So we're looking at student need and we're looking at staff availability. At this point, it is not mandatory for teachers to come back. Teachers have, you know, their own childcare issues at home. They may have pre-existing conditions. They might have some health issues that they're concerned about. So we are not forcing all teachers to come in right now. What we're doing is we're looking for teachers to volunteer to come in, give this a shot, and then, as I said, gradually expand it. Okay? So that's why the services we're providing at Loma Portal may look very different and will look very different from Dewey and from Silvergate and from OB and all the other schools in our district. Okay? So what will we be offering at Loma Portal? Right now, and again, this is fluid, this is going to change, but right now what we're looking at individual appointments for special education assessment. And if you're unaware, students with IEPs need to be given certain assessments periodically to make sure they are making growth academically, cognitively, and all that. So there are assessments that are due in very specific time frames. And so those are some of the first students that we'll be inviting back to do those assessments to make sure we're up to date and all that. We're looking at potentially some one-to-one or small groups of students with IEPs at this point. And we're looking at potentially some small groups of some of our younger students. Just to start off with, again, we're looking at some of those foundational skills, those building block skills that we don't want our younger students to miss out on. In addition, I'm sure you're all aware, it is sometimes much more difficult to do the whole online learning thing with our younger students. I think the older students get, the more independent they are. So we wanted to make sure we're supporting our family members, supporting our students by possibly inviting some of our younger students back to campus. Again, in very small groups, we're looking at maybe one student at a time, maybe three students at a time. The district mandated that we can have a maximum of six students at a time. So anytime you see small group, we're looking at a maximum of six students for the most part. Okay. All right. Here's just a rundown of district wide who may be eligible. So as I said, we're talking about students with IEPs. We're talking about our struggling students. And that last bullet, we're talking about kids who did not have a report card last spring. Those are our kindergarten kids, brand new kindergarten kids. We're talking about our new students who don't have a report card from last year and are not making any progress. So again, that online learning component is still our go-to. That's still our number one priority. But there are several situations that will make it necessary to invite students to come back to school. Okay, and again, we're starting small. I think all schools are going to start small. And our goal is to gradually build based on how comfortable our staff is coming back to school, making sure our families feel comfortable coming back to school, and then making sure that, and I think our next slide goes into this. Yeah, making sure that all of our safety guidelines are in place. Of course, we take this very seriously for very good reason. And we have very strict guidelines that we'll be following when we do invite students back. Okay, and since May, we've been getting deliveries every week of various PPE, the personal protective equipment. We've been getting deliveries of masks, hand sanitizer stations, things like plexiglass partitions, We have signs that we're going to be putting up. And I think there's been a very steady flow of all this coming for months and months and months. We've had several groups of district personnel working on our roof. There's actually someone up there right now working on our ventilation system too. So this is not something our district takes lightly. And I want you to know that this is not something that we're throwing together at the last minute. We've been planning for this for months now. And I'm happy to, you know, at least invite some students back for now. And then, as I said, hopefully build on that. Okay. So next steps. So as I said, this will affect a very small percentage of kids. If your child is a child that we will be inviting back, we will contact you probably next week. We'll talk to you about scheduling. We'll talk to you about what it's going to look like specifically. And we'll talk to you about what information you'll be needing to give us, paperwork, forms, things like that. So for the most part, for most parents, you don't need to do anything right now, okay? But if you're the parent of one of the students we're inviting back, we'll be reaching out to you in the next few days, as I said, probably next week, and we'll talk about specifics such as scheduling and locations and whatnot, okay? So there's really nothing to be done right now. This is not a service you can request. This is really based on student need and students fitting into that criteria. And also it's based on staff availability, okay? And again, this will be a fluid situation. You know, we're looking to start groups, hopefully, possibly the week of October 19th, possibly the week after that. But we want to make sure our procedures are in place. We want to make sure we're safe. We want to make sure your children are safe. So we don't want to rush this. The earliest we can start is October 13th, which is next Tuesday, but we will most likely not be prepared by then. I don't think any school will be prepared by then. So we're looking at the following week or the week after. So again, we will contact you if your children fit that criteria. And if we'll be inviting them back, we'll let you know. Okay. So what I'll do now is I'm going to stop sharing for a sec. Does anybody have any questions? Ooh, I have. If you have a question, just give me you can put it in the chat or you can just give me a hand raise. I know that's a lot of information. I know it's different information from what I think people were thinking. But this has also kind of changed since everything first came out last Tuesday, I believe, or Wednesday. This is really kind of morphed from a large scale operation for all schools to really something that's going to be available to a small number of students. As step one. And then again, as I keep saying, we will continue to build on that and hopefully invite more and more and more students as more and more and more teachers come back. Okay. But again, for now, anyway, online learning is our go-to. All right. So continue working. Yeah. Jessica, can you?
Yeah. I was wondering what was the reason for the change?
From early last week to, a big reason for the change is as we went into that criteria of students, as we looked at the actual number of kids who have IEPs and met those other criteria, kids who, you know, averaged a one or two on their report card last year, all that, we were noticing that this is really going to affect a much smaller group of kids than I think what originally the district was thinking. In addition, I think the district was thinking there would be large numbers of staff returning to campus, not thinking that there are childcare issues for many, many, many teachers. There are health issues going on. We have teachers, you know, every school has teachers in that, you know, high risk kind of age category, people who just do not feel comfortable just yet coming back. So I think all those factors together created the situation where things had to be scaled back a little bit, you know? So this is more of kind of like a baby step phase one as opposed to this big shift. Here comes phase one and everything is going to change, you know? So again, I wish phase one was going to affect more kids, but for now anyway, it won't. But I think what's good is, you know, we can use this time to kind of perfect our system. And, you know, I've been telling our teachers who are returning, you know, they'll be kind of like the guinea pigs and they'll show people how successful this can all be. And at that point, we can get more teachers back and then obviously more students to follow along. But the other thing I wanted to mention, I forgot to mention this, when we're talking about those small groups and those kids who are coming back, I think another misconception was that, you know, they could be coming back for, you know, a large time frame, like an hour or 2 hours or something like that. But it's most likely going to be just small groups, you know, like some small reading groups, some small math groups, maybe about 30 minutes or so, 45 minutes at the max. That's also just something I wanted to throw out there. Okay, but that was a good question. Thanks for asking. Okay, any other questions? Yeah, Lauren?
I know with some of the universities, as they are having people head back to campus, then some of the staff and faculty are kind of on a rolling testing basis just to kind of make sure. I'm curious if the school district is going to be doing any of that for the teachers once people are back on campus.
Yes, well, it's not mandatory, but our district has actually, it just came out, I think it was on Tuesday. They're rolling out these testing locations throughout the district where teachers can just come in, get a quick test on their way to work or whatever. So it's not mandatory yet, but I'm actually going to go in today just to be just, I kind of just want to see what it's like. There's one right in Old Town. So I'm going to go just get a test because I want to be able to tell our staff what it's like, if there's waits or whatever. But it's not mandatory yet, but our district is trying to make it convenient to just go in and get tests every so often. And we're going to work as a staff to maybe put some general guidelines in place. So, you know, we can talk about maybe getting tested once every 2 weeks or something like that. But again, nothing's mandatory right now. Not yet anyway. I think as things open up more and more, you know, the testing thing will become more of a mandatory thing. Okay. Any other questions? And I mean, as I hope you know, I support our staff 100%, but I also support you guys. And I know this is not the best. This is not ideal. As I said in my email yesterday, I wish we were all back. I can't wait to get back. And I know other districts are opening up gradually. You know, we're following suit. We're opening up gradually, maybe at a smaller pace, a slower pace, I mean. But I think our district is just very large and it takes a little bit more time to, you know, make these changes. I know a lot of people have mentioned that Poway opened up last week and that's great. Like more power to them. My kids actually go to Poway schools. They're in school right now, but you know, Poway is a much smaller district. There's a many, many, many less, you know, hundreds of less teachers and students. And I think the bigger districts like San Diego and LA Unified takes a little while longer to make things happen. And we want to make sure that whatever decisions are made are the right decisions and the safe decisions, which is why this phase one process is rolling out now. And again, I'm hopeful that phase two and three and four or whatever, however many phases there are, those come rolling in quick. Okay. So, but I'll keep giving you information, whatever I get, I try to send out to parents right away. We're meeting the Point Loma Cluster meeting. Point Loma Cluster principals are meeting again, actually right after this meeting, to craft possibly another letter to send home, just giving out information. And I have been talking to parents here and there, and I do ask, you know, what can we change? And a very popular answer that I get from a lot of parents is communication. They want to hear, they want to know more information, what's happening, what's happening in the near future? What are we looking at? So we're not, so parents aren't just surprised by large scale changes. So my goal is to make sure you guys are all as informed as possible as we kind of move towards these, you know, these next phases. Okay. So what I'll do now is I'll transition. And if another question comes up in like 5 minutes, just put it in the chat and I'll try to answer it the best I can. So what I'll do is I want to shift to our SPSA really quickly. I think this is important information that I have to go over with various community groups just to make sure we're all understanding what it is. So I went over this at our school governance, our SSC, sorry, meeting on Tuesday. I'll be mentioning it at our foundation meeting next week. And I wanted to just address this real quickly with you. An SPSA is, it's a very long, dense document that I have to create along with teachers and family members every year. And it basically just outlines what our school's goals are this year. It's the school plan for student achievement. Last year's SPA was kind of cut short because schools closed. So a lot of our goals occur at the very end of the year. I'm sorry, a lot of the assessments are at the end of the year to determine if we met any goals, basically. So a lot of our goals from last year are going to carry over to this year. And a big reason for that is that each spring, our third and fourth graders take the SBAC assessment, which is that large computerized standardized test at the very end of the year or towards the end of the year. And a lot of our goals are based on SBAC scores. And we didn't take the SBAC last year. We will take it this year. So a lot of our goals are just kind of rolled over. So I want to just really quickly outline what our goals are and where we're at and where we want to be. So the SPSA, there is a funding element to the SPSA, and we have to spend the money we have, and we have to show rationale for how much we spend. Several schools qualify for Title I funding, which is federal dollars to help support. We don't qualify for that because the community we live in is not below the threshold for it's all based on how many students qualify for a free lunch. You have to be 40%, our enrollment has to be 40% or lower of these students who qualify for free lunch. So we don't qualify for that. Similar to, I think Dewey Elementary is the only school, Dewey and OB are the only schools in Point Loma that qualify for those dollars. So basically our school budget is relatively low. So we have $18,000 that we spend. And what we use that money on traditionally is our guidance assistant position. Our guidance assistant, if you don't know, is Mindy Cannon, who's fabulous. And she does a ton to support our school and our students. And we use that money to support our EL student population, our English learners. And that budget was all approved last January. All right. And then, so these are some of our goals. And what I have here is, in the parentheses, the first percentage is where we're at currently. And the second percentage is what our goal is. So our goals are in the following areas: reducing chronic absenteeism from 10% to 5%. Chronic absenteeism is any student who is absent for at least 10% of school days. So that's an area we're really working hard on, the whole attendance, idea and trying to get kids in school, whether it's attending Zoom and online work or it's on campus. So we have made gains in that. I believe in 2018-19, we were at 18% chronically absent. So we got that down to 10%, and now our goal is to bring that down to 5%. Our literacy and math goals are very similar because in spring 2019, that was our last SBAC, which is actually, it's called the CASP. That's that standardized test at the end of the year. Our students scored 65% meeting or exceeding standards in literacy and math. It's very rare that you have the same percentage for both. So our goals will be to bump that up to 70% meeting or exceeding standards. Again, that only the third and fourth graders take that test, but it's a school-wide goal because, you know, our third and fourth graders were in second grade last year, first grade the year before. So it's a school-wide goal that by the time our kids get to third and fourth grade and they take that test, we're looking for at least 70% meeting or exceeding standards. All right. Then we have some goals broken down into some subgroups. We have EL goals for our English learners. We want them right now, in 2019, 50% of our EL students met or exceeded standards. We want to bump that up to 60%. Students with disabilities, we want to go up from 33% meeting exceeding standards to 50%. And then this year, there's a new goal that we needed to create for supporting our Black youth. And we're looking at report card grades for our African-American students. And our goal is for 66% of our African-American students to meet or exceed standards in literacy on this year's report card. Okay. And that's the SPSA in a nutshell. What I will do though is I'm going to post the entire SPSA on our website. It's several pages long, and it goes into exactly what we'll be doing to meet these goals. A lot of the work, a lot of the what we'll be doing to meet these goals, it has to do with collaboration and our PLC work, our Professional Learning Committee work that we do as grade levels, our professional development activities that we do as a staff, and then, various activities from grade level to grade level are really created to support these subgroups of students and then our students as a whole. All right, so I'll post that on our website for you guys to look at in your spare time. And if you have any questions about that, please, as always, just give me a call or shoot me an email. Okay? So that's actually it. That was my last slide. So what I'll do is let me stop sharing here. So any other questions that popped up? I know this is a time where there's a lot of information flowing and there's limited amounts of, zero times where we're all together as a community. Our community events are at a minimum right now. We are working on something for Halloween though, and I'm hoping that we'll have some sort of Halloween event at our school, but more information will be going out real soon. But any questions for me about anything, about the SPSA, about phase one, or about anything else at this point? I hope you know that if you do have any questions, I'm an open book, so email me, call me, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you can give me, that you have for me, very honestly. I'm not one of those people that think, online learning is perfect. It's going perfectly, like nothing can get any better. I know it's difficult for students. I know it's difficult for families. I have to say, I think our staff is doing an amazing job, but we're all hoping to get back to school very soon, okay. Oh, so I see a question in the chat. So how is attendance being counted for now for online learning? That's a good question. So technically speaking, your child is marked attended, or I should say your child is not marked absent if they have an interaction with a teacher during the day, and that could be Zoom, it could be a phone call, it could be an email, any kind of back and forth with a teacher, or they submit an assignment in a day. If they do any of that, they are not marked absent. If a student does not have any back and forth at all, any connection with a teacher, and they do not submit any work in a day, they will be marked absent. Okay, and we are still taking attendance. And so I would say if you know you're gonna be away from a computer for a day or something like that, and you do not want your child to be marked absent, number one, contact the teacher beforehand and tell the teacher that. Or, email the teacher that day and just let them know. So if there's any back and forth at all, that counts as present. Okay. All right. All right. Well, thanks for being here, everybody. I know it's tough to get to these meetings. I'm going to post this, the recording of this. I'll actually email it out. I know Mrs. Lundeen's great. Love her. So happy she's here. I will email a copy of this this presentation out to our families who couldn't be here. And as always, I'll just try to keep you all as updated as possible as we navigate all this, okay? Stay safe, everybody. Stay positive, and we'll hopefully be back at school real soon, okay? Have a great day. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye.